Well, we're back in the division here, and you know, get ready for Buffalo, and that's you know, a team that's got a few new faces. You know, guys like Stroud, certainly, you know, guy to, that we got to deal with on the defensive side of the ball, but you know, big playmakers offensively with Parrish and Evans, of course, Lynch. Quarterback's playing well. Big offensive line. I think they're the biggest in the league. They're big. Like Philadelphia's big and Dallas is big. Like they're real big. And you know, and fast on defense. And I think that you know, the linebackers are real active. The front's active. You know, Williams and Stroud do a real good job there inside. And I think the corners are playing very well. Greer has really emerged as a, you know, quality player for him along with McGee. And so very good in the kicking game, like they always are. Good return team, very dangerous, good kickers. So we know this team well, and they know us, and, you know, we got a lot to get ready for. But, you know, looking forward to, you know, playing in the division. These are, you know, it's a tough game coming up, and it's an important game for us. So, you know, I hope we can play well.
Bill, it seems like lately we're seeing more of Gary Guyton on the field. What are some of the factors that have contributed to him playing more?
Well, I'd say the main thing has been that he's, when he's had an opportunity to play, he's, you know, he's done a good job. But he's got some versatility for us, and he can rush a little bit, cover a little bit, really can play a little bit of inside or outside linebacker, or those kind of responsibilities. So he gives some flexibility in there and pace Teddy a little bit.
And just thinking back to Gary, I know it's a long time ago, but at the draft, it's sort of surprising to some that he would go undrafted but be contributing the way he is. I mean, can you pinpoint anything why that would be the case, why he would have gone undrafted?
No, I you know, I can tell you that we were strongly considering him along with Bo in the seventh round. And, you know, we ended up taking Bo, but it really was, you know, those were two of the players that we talked a lot about. And then, you know, when the draft was over, we kind of went back and Gary wasn't drafted, and so we kind of came back on him. And of course, his question was, "Well, why didn't you take me in the seventh round?" And that was a good question. So,
he won you over with his smarts, right there.
Yeah, yep. He knew more than we did at that point. But anyway, you know, we were fortunate enough to sign him as a free agent, and you know, he's a smart kid. I think he, you know, maybe kind of got caught a little bit in the middle there between, you know, is he a 4-3 middle linebacker? Is he a 4-3 outside linebacker? Is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? Is he big enough to be a 3-4 inside linebacker? He's, you know, he's kind of got a little bit everything, but I don't know if he's the prototype in terms of size, speed, and all that, you know, for any of those positions, but... But he seems to do well enough, you know, really to play elements of all of them. And you know, he's one of the fastest players at the combine at his position. So, you know, his ability to run, I think, is evident. And that shows up, you know, a little bit in the kicking game. You know, I think we saw that early in the, I think it was the Baltimore game where he, you know, ran a return out of bounds down there around the goal line, you know, after a long return. So, And he's been on the field every day. You know, he hasn't missed any time, just keeps getting better and working hard. So he's, you know, he's got some things going for him, and the biggest thing is he's taking advantage of his playing opportunities.
We saw Bill, Terrence Wheatley left the game, and I'm just curious, at this stage, do you have any feel for if that's a longer-term situation or still waiting for more info on that?
Yeah, not yet, Mike. I think they're looking at it, and you know, I did some stuff yesterday and see how that comes out today. So, don't have any more to add, you know, at this point. Just going back for Guyton, though, for a second, you know, Mike, I mean, all those things, positive things that I said, let's not get him fitted for the jacket yet, okay?
Sure, sure. Just keep rolling here. In offensive line, the prior to Sunday night, you had a little bit of a rotation going at right guard, but in that game you sort of stayed with one option there. How did you feel that worked out specific at that position?
I thought it worked out well. Steve played about half of the previous two games, and we felt like that was a good amount for him to play. And we just felt like after last week's game against the Rams that he was ready to go all the way in terms of his conditioning and a couple weeks of contact and, you know, daily practices and all that. And so we started him and played him, and really he didn't have any problems. I mean, Steve's in good condition. He's one of our best condition guys for his position. And so he really didn't have any problems. And I think that, although it wasn't perfect, that it continues to get better. And so we'll probably continue to go that way as long as it keeps, going in this direction. But I think that Billy has done an outstanding job for us this year, and I don't think he's had too many problems, in any of the games. We're really fortunate to have, a quality player like Billy be able to step in there and play as well as he did for the first six games. Well, even the next two, five games in the next two in terms of, splitting time there with Steve.
Bill, shifting gears a little bit to look at the Bills, why do you feel Edwards has been able to step right in and be a starter so quickly in just his second year?
Because he's a good football player. He's accurate, makes good decisions, and has a good feel for the position. And, of course, he came from a good, good passing background, but he has good field vision and sees things well, reads coverages, goes to the place where he's, has light coverage, and he's also working with some very good receivers too. I'm sure that helps the passing game as well. But he's been very efficient, and even last year when he stepped in, he seemed to have a good presence on the field and good command of the offense.
I know you didn't have a third-round pick when he came out, but is he somebody you looked at all coming out of Stanford? Did you give him any kind of a look, knowing that he might be there in that fourth-round range?
Yeah, sure, we did. To be honest with you, I think, we were a little surprised that he lasted as long as he did. But, as you mentioned, we'd already, traded the second for Welker and ended up giving up the fourth for Moss, so... Not that that mattered, but, we were kind of didn't have our full – had players. We just didn't end up with a full complement of picks there.
Seemed like those deals worked out okay.
Yeah. But had he been there – had he been there when we took Kareem Brown, I'd like to think we wouldn't have passed him up, but
– How about Lee Evans? I'm curious about him. The history has not always been kind to receivers drafted as high as he was, and yet he's one who it has worked out for. What do you like about him, and what makes him tough? He's had some decent games against you.
Oh, he sure has. Well, I think, one of the things with Lee coming out was just, coming off the knee injury. He had a great, I think it was his junior year there, or the year before he was drafted, he had a, great year, and then, and then had the knee injury, and that, I think that was, a little bit of a question, but he's got a lot of speed. And he accelerates very quickly. For that kind of speed, he's got very good quickness too. And he runs, intermediate routes and in cuts and comebacks and things like that very well. He had a real good catch in the Jets game where they had him high low. They put a lot of coverage to him last week with Rhodes over the top a lot and Revis underneath of them, and he. And Lowry sometimes too, and he, made a real good move to beat the underneath coverage when he was kind of sandwiched between, the low guy and the high guy. So I mean, he's got real good quickness and a good ability to run after the catch, primarily because of his speed. But as I said, he does have good quickness and catches the ball. So he's really a big play threat. You've got to, be careful about sitting on his routes or, trying to play the intermediate stuff because he can blow by you. And we've seen plenty of that. But at the same time, if you play too soft and give them too much room, then you know, it was a lot of easy, you know, 10, 15, 18-yard completions underneath that you don't want to give those up either. So he's a hard guy to defend. And they're moving him around more this year, so it's not always easy to find him. They'll put him on the strong side, the weak side, you know, run him on some under routes and crossing patterns and things like that. So it's not all vertical stuff.
Bill, I think you only ran it twice against the Colts, but I don't know if you guys refer to it as the Wildcat, where you have, I know you've done direct snaps to Kevin in the past, but this one with Matt flanked out wide, a new wrinkle for you? How do you think those plays worked out?
I think they worked out well. I thought the run was fine. That was a solid play. The slip screen, we didn't get much out of that. So it just gives you a way to pick up an extra blocker in the running game. Not a big thing, you know, just another thing. You know, I think as you get into this point in the season, kind of the halfway point, every team sort of is doing the same thing. Even when you run the same plays, you try to give them a little bit of a different look and make the defense defend something different, or try to do what you do but not make it quite as obvious, give it a little different, you know, dress it up a little differently. And that's something that you kind of work on all the way through, you know, through the year, especially in the running game. You know, you only have so many running plays. No team has 40 running plays. You maybe have, you know, let's say 10, whatever it is, and throw out a couple of those from week to week, depending on how the other team's playing, and maybe you pick up a couple here or there. But, you know, in the end, after a few games, everybody has pretty much seen your running game, and it's hard to put in a lot of new running plays because there's so many moving parts with the linemen and the tight ends and the backs, and you know, you just don't have a lot of time to work on. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's hard to do a lot of it. So, you know, you find a way to change up those things, and I think you see a lot of teams doing that in some form or fashion, whether it's a motion or unbalanced line or, you know, running back, direct snap to the running back, or, you know, shifting, or, you know, those kind of things, just to kind of give the defense a little something else to think about before the ball snap.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, thank you.